No, we gave you guys a lot of extra minutes yesterday anyway, so you really got your time out of yesterday. I was shocked when I looked at my watch. I was like, I said, well, let's see what we want. I went, oh, I didn't have no clue.
I was trying to hold up the communion cup like
you. Were you doing that? See, I was oblivious, man. I was in a zone, man. I was just, I was gone and they were crying and I was a mess. You girls were something yesterday. I had fun yesterday. I was like, oh, the word is so amazing. Does anybody, before we get rolling, remember I said, made some comments about a confession sheet yesterday? I wasn't, you know, like totally trashing confession sheets. I was just saying the way we approach it, I'm not a fan of the way they're presented. Does anybody have a confession sheet in their Bible or something like that? I'd love to have one. Because do you have one in your car? Okay, but with scriptures? You have one written out with scriptures of confessions and just... Does anybody have one on them right now in their Bible?
What is
it's like, say there be the promises of healing or identity, and you quote the scripture, and you'll just be quoting the scripture on the confession sheet. And I was leaving here yesterday. You have one? Let me see if it'll work with what I'm looking for.
It doesn't have the scriptures per se, but it's from Rodney when he does the deliverance stuff. If you read down through there.
Oh yeah, no, that's all good. That's an identity statement. No, I'm talking about a confession sheet that has scriptures listed on it where people have the idea they take that and they get up and they read them out loud. They just read them out loud. Oh, you're scaring me now. She's trying to get something on me or something. I'm just keeping my distance. Be careful who you let touch you. And
I have a paper that I typed it into.
By the way, I don't believe that you let anybody touch you. Go ahead.
Down here it kind of starts with some scriptures, and it's a couple pages.
Yeah, but look how personal you have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. Okay. I'm just looking for a basic confession sheet, like I have had 100 of them in my hands over the years, and I've seen them around. You know what I'm talking about?
You burned them all.
I preached that yesterday and you burned them all. You're kidding. Because at some point I want to model something. Okay. I'll try to. Thank you, Lord. Okay. This will work. I'll make it happen. Good. I was on the way home. There's confession sheets that have, like, for healing, and they'll have all these promises and scriptures for healing. Right. So what people do is, when they're going through a symptom of sickness, they'll quote all those scriptures. Like, they go on the way to work, they might just take some time and sit, and they'll read all those scriptures and quote them. And they're actually, people are taught, they're a confession sheet to make a confession. What I don't hear a lot attached to it is to transition that into communion with God and fellowship with the Lord, where it's personal, face to face. Where, like, even when I sing songs in a church service and it says him, I'm always saying you. It's just, that's my life. So it's different. You know what I mean? I don't want to sing about him. I want to sing to him. Do you get what I'm saying? You can't imagine, it's not a technicality. Don't think that what I'm saying is a play on words and it's just nitpicking on a little principle. You can't even imagine the difference between the two until you enter into that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you can read a confession sheet and you can speak, you know, all these things out loud, because the word is anointed. The word is powerful. The word's alive and active. So the concept is, hey, just speak the word, brother. Just speak the word. You know what I'm saying? I like to speak to him and take it personal. Did you have a comment or?
No, I have one called 70 Healing Scriptures by Richard Langford. And it's a list of scriptures. Is that what you want?
Yeah. Well, if it's printed in like a confession sheet form kind of thing. You bringing that thing back up here? You want me to, like, preach with it or something, or hold it? Like, if I have to do anything, I won't know what to do. Let me look at this.
The problem is it's falling down.
I'll tell you what. And I'm not... this would be fine. I could work with this. I'm going to just do this.
Because
I have it. Thanks for helping, though. Thanks for caring. No, we could have worked that out. I could have did that. Hey, I handled Anthony's little phone. It was all good. It was all good. Stop, Brent. So, remember yesterday? Yesterday, I don't know what happened yesterday. I don't even know what we preached yesterday. Yesterday was a blur to me. I thought we were talking about communion with God, and I don't know where we went, but we went wherever. I told you that school. Yeah, I had a good time. I felt fun in my heart. Communion with God. We talked about meditating in the Word day and night. Remember Psalms 1? There's some benefits to meditating in the Word. Just understand this, that you can, the whole purpose of what I'm trying to accomplish in this, like yesterday and even today and in these next few moments, is the motivation, the perspective and the mindset in which you're approaching God. You're not just trying to acquire knowledge. Knowledge, the Bible says, knowledge puffs you up, love edifies. If your only motive is to gain knowledge, knowledge will take the place of knowing Him. And your knowledge will replace your relationship with the Lord. Your Bible knowledge will become your identity. And you'll just take pride in the ability that you know what the Word says. In the long run, that will bite you, because all that you know the Word says doesn't, you realize, isn't your reality. And in time, it works a weird thing in people. I've watched it a whole lot. It's love that edifies. Watch this. Faith works through love. You say, yeah, but brother, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, right? So Romans says that. But the truth is, God is the Word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, because the Word introduces you to the truth of who God is, and the truth of God's will, and the truth of God's nature. So the Word stirs faith in you, because through the Word you see God's love for us. You get it? So you don't want to get rigid with it and say, well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. And we get mechanical, and when we give our hearts, because we do care, and we're going in an avenue that doesn't necessarily produce God reality. And some of the most committed people in that arena that I've known can be just as the most discouraged, confused, frustrated, because they've done everything they were told. Who's ever heard? But I've done everything. But I've been doing that for 6 months. But I did that. Do you hear the language? What's that language reveal? Well, no. It reveals that it's not a relationship. It's a method. I'm doing something to get a result. Now that keeps you self-conscious, self-driven. Could be self-centered at some level. It's just still about you, what you can do to get Him to move. What I can do to get Him to move. Do you hear how impersonal that is? So you can quote scriptures and quote scriptures and in it, no, yo, are you sure? Oh, this one, now I'm stretched a little. Now I got to make sure I'm hearing this clear. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm going to cry. Man, I can't get away from this. Like, we'll preach on prosperity in a church and all these confessions and all this stuff. And there's a whole lot of fear behind the scenes, people that ain't making their bills and all this stuff. And we're just preaching the Word on it. Instead of relationship motive. And then the one person that gets a promotion, we hold them up as the testimony that this works. And there's 50 other people for weeks don't even know how they're going to make it, but they're trapped in a principle of something, in a method of something, trying to make it happen. And it works. It's limited. It's not what God's teaching. And then there's great condemnation, and then we'll use that testimony or two out of a church of hundreds. There's somebody now that just got an unexpected gift, and we'll suck the life out of that thing, promote that. See what happens when you do this. I just saw that in my heart. I'm fighting to even preach it. I'm like, ugh. Are you all following me? And then the people that are, then they're all the more forced into, well, then I just got to keep doing this. And I got to keep making sure I give and bless my seed and do this. And it's so works driven. It has nothing to do with relationship and faith that works through love. Come on, if I would get laid off from a job, I don't need to grab a confession sheet on prosperity. I need to know God enough to say, Father, I thank you that I am so not moved here in this. This hit at an inopportune time. It seems like the worst thing that could happen. But the greatest thing is you're my Father. And I thank you that you make a way for us, that you love our family, that you bless me with these children, and you know my heart to be a provider. And God, I thank you. I'll find favor, that a door will open, that there will be provision. I will not fret. I'm not afraid because you are so good to me. There's a place to know that. And not be, oh my God. And then you go get your application and you go here and you do this. And all of a sudden you just find favor with God and man. You already found favor with God, but you find favor with man because you're not trying something to get a breakthrough or to get God to move on your behalf. Who knows? He knows you lost your job and knows all this stuff. The last thing we need to do is a Christian principle to put us in order to receive in position. No, I need a father that I can sit and talk with. Are you following me? But that's the tragedy. Then we'll take even healing can get that way, where we'll make it like it's a principle instead of a relationship, and we'll hold up a couple healings. And if we're not careful, there's times where people will hold up certain healings and the way they got healed, and then preach actually a works message that, well, if you do this and this. And see what happened for them. And we'll highlight that, but there's hundreds of people that you're fishing from to find that one, that's not happening for them, and they're doing maybe more than they did. So it gets a paradox, then it gets troubling. It's not like that. It's not works. It's not, if I quote all these healing scriptures every day, I'm not waiting for my healing. I'm growing in God's love for me, His provision for me. I'm identifying myself through Christ, and I'm separating myself from the identity of this symptom I'm going through, and this is growing bigger and bigger until it pushes this aside. You understand what I'm saying? It's so different than what a lot of us have been taught, and I'm concerned about what a lot of us have been taught. I've been around a lot of teaching. I don't just embrace everything I've ever been taught. There's a lot of things that I've been around and taught that taught me what not to believe. The reason I believe that happened is because I have a relationship with Jesus. That's my priority. I'm in Him. I'm with Him. I wasn't going to do this, but necessarily now, but I was going to do it. Someone handed me a little note yesterday, which I enjoyed, and I saw they were realizing something. I want to address it. I didn't say anything to them, so I'm not going to give their identity away, unless later it wouldn't matter, but right now I'm not. But I want you to hear this. It's written very clear, and then I want to address something. Today you answered a question. This was from yesterday. One of the students handed me this after the session. Today you answered a question my mind has been asking for the past 2 weeks since the school started. You were called by God. You responded to His call. This has my heart pretty well defined. I must have shared it pretty clear, so listen to this. You responded to the call. You agreed with God. And you wanted to walk away from your old life motives and to know God, and to know what He has planned for you to be. You were saved by Him. And I was seeking Him. It says that I was seeking Him in His Word. You did not say a sinner's prayer. And you, I believe, were born again by the Spirit. You, I believe, came to God through His Word. And I heard you say you didn't have a church home at the time. Nor surrounded by Christian friends and learning from them. I know what you're trying to say when you say this, but it's not always necessary. Jesus says, you are blessed and maybe didn't know it. No sinner's prayer for you. There's a truth to what's being said here. I want you to follow along. How many among us are deceived? We're pressured by a person or a church to whose goal is to get us to come to Jesus and say a prayer. And we are led in a sinner's prayer, and sometimes it satisfies those who repeatedly ask us if we're ready to receive the free gift. And then we say the prayer and join the church that's sponsors or represents the outreaching group. And then we're trained to lead others in the same way. But if reading the Bible and knowing more Christ-like things occurred, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're blessed by you and your isolated salvation experience. You're a true child, not a stepchild in this family. What's being addressed here is, I want you to see this in the beginning. This can be your heart motive. And here's what I want to address. Two things about this letter. When you come to Jesus, you're giving up your life and your life motives to walk in what God has designed you for. It's absolutely, she caught that. It's the lady that handed me this note. I obviously revealed that when I said she caught that. That's awesome. No other motive. Not just to go to heaven. Not just to say a sinner's prayer. Just to receive the free gift. No. I'm dying to me so I can live to Him. Now watch this. I understand what's being said when I maybe was more blessed than I realized by not having an immediate church. I hadn't gone to church forever. Now, I got plugged into a church and went to a church pretty quick. I met with a pastor right after my experience following week. I took the kids there and I started to go. But I spent all this time alone. I just went to church once a week for a while anyway. Here's the deal. With this school and with what you were saying and what was picked up here, which was awesome, the way this is conveyed, it's exactly what happened in my life. Every one of us can jump into that. It doesn't matter if you've been going through traditional religion for 40 years. The truth makes you free. You have to be very careful if your story's not like my story and you have a different story that feels like it robbed you or corrupted you or limited you in some way. You have to be very careful that you don't wrap natural knowledge around that as if right now you're missing something because of that. Because you're not. Not one person in this place. Because you can transition into truth immediately. You can transition from method to relationship immediately. You can transition from a sinner's prayer going to heaven mentality to sonship immediately. You can say in your heart, it's what repentance does. You can say in your heart, wow, I never really understood this or had this motive. I never realized I was just totally giving up my own motives, my own life. And all these years I've been thinking it was this and this, and I wasted, and they didn't, and why didn't they tell me? And you can make that real big in the soul, or you can go, whoa, I'm sure glad I see this now, because I was this and I called here. And you just take the step, and you rejoice. I had a lady come to healing service with another lady, and they both got healed. It was funny. They would come to healing service when I did open healing services back where I pastored before. And they both came in with canes and they had conditions and we prayed for them and they both got healed. And it was funny. And I called them when they first came. I had called them something and they chuckled about it. But this lady was 70 years old. So she comes for 4 more weeks. And she's so enthralled. She grew up in a denominational church her whole life. She said, can I share something? I said, sure, honey, come here. And she's 70 years old. She gets up. She's overwhelmed. I just loved her motive and her heart in this. I'm like, why can't we just grab this all the time? I don't know what works in some of us sometimes, but this was beautiful. She stood there and she said, I'm 70 years old. That's what she said. She said, I've been a Christian attending a church for, it was like 50 years. She said, I've lived my whole life not knowing, understanding, or knowing the things I've learned in these last 4 years. My whole life went by And I haven't known the things that I've just seen and realized. I am so glad that at age 70, it has come. And that my life didn't go by without knowing these things. And she just praised God for it. Now, she could have been a whole in a whole other realm. True? She could have said, oh, my whole life's over. Why did I? Right? She could have. But there's something about your perspective that determines light or darkness, right? If my eye is single and it's good, it's healthy, light. If it's not, darkness. It all has to do with your view. It says if the darkness in you, if the light in you, which means you're created for the light. It's Matthew 6:22, Luke 11:34, I believe. It says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is single, if it's healthy, if it's seeing clear through truth, your whole body's promised to be flooded with light. It says, but if your eye's not healthy, not single, I call it wide view lens, multiple choice, optional view. It says, then the light in you, if the light in you is darkness, it says, then there's darkness. If the light in you, listen to the language, if the light in you is darkness, what's that mean? It means you're created for the light. That means God sees you for light, for the light. That's your calling, for the light. But if the light in you is darkness, that's perversion. Come on, we are so made for Him. Every one of you is a house fit for a king. Every one of you. You're so made for Him. If the light in you is darkness, that's perversion. It says, how great is that darkness? What's it mean? Just how twisted, just how off the truth is your view. Because what you see determines who you are, who you're going to be. Does that make sense? Okay, so we got on some of this stuff yesterday about meditating in the Word, about having fellowship with God. Remember, the Apostle John was writing about his fellowship, and the reason he was declaring Him to us is so that we could have that same fellowship. Scripture hit me on the way home as well. I was just musing in my mind, talking to the Lord, just enjoying. I was having fun on my way home. I was just like, man, that was fun, Lord. I didn't even know it was almost 20 after 12. I was like, He's calling us into this fellowship. Some people say, boy, I wish I was here when Jesus was here. And boy, it wouldn't have been neat. And we have all these comments and people have their things to respond. But 2 Corinthians says that we don't regard, in chapter 5 says, we don't regard anyone according to the flesh because Christ has come. If He died, all died. And it says, and no longer do we even regard Jesus according to the flesh, even though we did see Him according to the flesh. This is amazing. He's alive. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He has sent His Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, to the earth to live in as many as would believe and do in His absence what He'd do if He was here. We have fellowship with God through the Spirit. It's a powerful thing. And He's here for as many as would believe, right? So we're not limiting, regarding, we're not even seeing Jesus anymore through the flesh. He is risen. He's alive, right? And now He's sitting at the right hand of God, mediating as a high priest unto God on behalf of men. And the Spirit of God is here inside of all of us. So the relationship and fellowship that John's talking about, that he even had tangibly, he's saying we all have, even though He's not here in that human form way that He was. And John knows what he's talking about. We all have access to that fellowship, right? So He wants us to all be in Him like He is. So that's why I want to talk about this. And I want to talk about some ways to pray. I want to take some scriptures, look at them. I want to talk about meditating in the Word and communing with God. The reason I asked for a confession sheet, and I'm going to make this work. This can work. I've seen so many confession sheets in my life, and there was one. I just had some stuff in mind. But this is pretty much like it. This one's called Listening to God. See, there's nothing wrong with this, okay? These are like scriptural references. They point you to a topic. So here it says, Listening to God. Psalms 25:14. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. That means who reverence Him, who esteem Him high, right? And separate Him above the rest as far as wisdom and integrity and honor. You fear the Lord. And it says He confides in those who fear Him. I don't know about you, but that confiding thing sounds pretty cool, right? Just come and just kind of confide in you. That's intimate. You know, hey, Jessalyn, can I come and just share my heart and confide some things in you? The Lord. That'd be pretty rich, right? Come on! That's like, whoa! That's a big deal. And that's the time I share the testimony all the time when my wife was hurting and God was coming and at work and showing me where she was and what she was doing in detail. And it lasted about 4 or 5 days. And I would be working and he'd say, and I'd say, Lord, I thank you for my wife. Bless her, God. God, I just ask you to come upon her and just begin to bless her, minister to her heart. God, I just thank you that I love her. And I'd pray certain ways. And about 5 or so days into it, he did it again. I was at work. And he said, and I went, oh, Lord. And he said, Dan, do you know why I'm doing this? Why I'm showing you these things like this? Because it was, you have no idea how detailed, intimate, and full of knowledge these impressions were. You just have no idea. And I said, well, yeah. I was just like a kid. I said, yeah, so I can pray for her. That's the no-brainer to me. You're showing me so I can pray. So I can represent her heart before you. So I can pray. Now imagine, I'm only a couple weeks old in the Lord. I'm just saved a few weeks, 2, 3 weeks. 3 weeks maybe. And I said, so that I could pray for her. Well, that's a clear answer. He said, no. It was almost like he chuckled. He said, no. He said, the reason I'm doing it this way and telling you these things is because I can. Meaning you're going to hear like I hear. It's like telling myself. Because of where you've positioned your heart and allowed me to take your heart. I can tell you anything. You're going to respond like I would. So I can tell you anything that I need to. Because you'll handle it like I would. Isn't that our relationship with Him? Some of us say, well, I wish I heard the Lord more. I say, man, just become one with His heart. He can tell Himself anything. Right? Come on. There's times in your life, who knows that you're growing? There's times in your life that God couldn't have told you things He can tell you now. Because of the way you would have reacted, responded, handled it, misread it, interpreted it, handled it. Do you see how limited we can let ourselves be with our communion with God when our hearts aren't pure, we're not free from ourselves? If we're not free from ourselves, how can God just entrust us with what He desires? Because we might hear it in a self-centered ear. And we might, instead of go and respond like God, we might go, huh? You're kidding me. What? They're doing what? Now, would God come and give you that information and give you the ability to stumble and drive you in the flesh if you weren't equipped and ready and in position? Would He give you insight and information and confide in you if your heart's not in position to love? Come on. He's not a gossip. And He's not going to tempt you with something like that. He's not going to come over here and tell Catherine something that she's not able to handle. And then she goes and gets hurt and causes more hurt through it because God whispered it to her. You say, well, He's given her a chance to go. No, He is not hurting people. He will not come and give her that if He knows, because He knows that she's going to mishandle it and cause harm and hurt to herself. There's just no way. He's good. He's life-giving. He adds to. He edifies. He doesn't steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't tempt any man with sin. Nor can he be tempted. Do you understand? But all of a sudden, her heart is secure in Christ and her heart is flowing free and her heart is motivated by love. And all of a sudden He comes and He gives her an amazing word of knowledge. All of a sudden He shows her something about two people or about a group of people. And it's something that nobody could possibly know. And yet God will whisper to her and yet He's not a gossip. Why? Because she's not hearing in an ear of flesh. She's hearing in a heart of love. And now she can handle it rightly. And now she intervenes or she calls someone on the phone. Listen, man, I was praying. I got this impression. Are you okay? Well, I felt like you were right now tied up in this. And all of a sudden they're bawling. And oh, my gosh, I love you. Look, you're more than this. And da, da, da. I could tell you story after story. One of the first times this happened to me, I was at home. I had a home group where it happened in a vision where I saw the person. Well, it was happening a lot back then when it first started. But this was one of the first ones that it happened to. God would put. It was just fun. Because the first time it happened, I was like, you know, you do that stuff. Spiritual things are, you're not ready for them. My wife and I are praying in the living room, and I looked, and there's a picture hovering in my living room. It's an 8.5 by 11 in the air hovering in my living room. And I'm like, and it has a face on it. And it's a person I know. Well, you would have done what I did. What's that, Lord? Why are you... What's that? Kim was praying, and I'm looking, and it's right... It's between me and the door, and it's in my living room. It's just insane. It's just fun. It's just God. And I said, what... He said, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I went, huh. Wow. Are you... Wow. I jumped on it right away. I addressed it. It was amazing. It was right on. It was incredible. And it helped save... someone's soul life. It was a night or two later, we're praying. There's a picture. What, Lord? It disappears. I get all another picture. What, Lord? Another picture. It was like three of them, four of them. Well, I got that all in me now. Now, one I'm just to pray about and speak over, and other ones I'm supposed to approach and pursue. But I've got details about stuff that I shouldn't know nothing about. Now, why is God doing that? Because I'm not going, you're kidding me, they're what? Well, what do you mean? Well, they come to my home group. No, they can't be doing that. Well, them hypocrites. You got to be kidding me. Come on. If that's even a close to my reaction, he'll never put that picture in my living room. When he shows you that stuff and speaks that, it's not like, oh, you're kidding me. What? Really? Come on, we got to go way past that. This one lady, the first one that I had, this lady's face was on an 8.5 by 11 hanging, hovering in my living room. It was just amazing to me. It was astounding. And it had me pretty captured. I was like, God, you're amazing. And I'm looking at her face, and I knew who it was. And a human heart outlined, it drew. It was like somebody took a pen and drew a human heart. It just appeared. And it was, her face was in the middle. You got the picture? Of a human medical heart. It wasn't a Valentine heart. It was a human heart. Medical heart. And I'm like, this is wild. And all of a sudden the heart got darker and darker till you couldn't see her face anymore. And I said, God, what's wrong? I said, is she sick in her heart? Does she have heart disease? Is there something? He said she has a darkened heart. Her heart has been blackened with deception and wrong motives because of great insecurity and need. He knows what motivates people. He's not repulsed by her dark ways. He's hurting because of what's promoting it and allowing it. And he wants to love her and get her free. And I'm like, you're kidding me. Am I supposed to address this? I guess you didn't tell me this just for knowledge. He said, I want you to call her in the morning. It was late at night. I went, okay. Well, I'm laying in bed. I'm so, I probably didn't sleep. I'm just laying in bed thinking, this is crazy. Picture hanging and all this stuff. I called her in the morning. She was so outgoing, high, loving, loved us outwardly. Like, really expressed it. She was like, sweet lady. And I said, honey, I was praying last night, and your face came to me. I didn't tell her the details, the picture. I just said, your face came to me. I'm thinking, literally. And I said, and I'm going to describe the picture that I saw. And I began to describe it. She's silent on the phone. Why? Because God's entrusted me with this, and His presence is already on her. His love is already protecting her, holding her, keeping her from just running. Look, I love you. I want you free. And I started to share what I saw and what I began to hear. And as I was being faithful with that much of it, because this was a nervous thing for me, all of a sudden I got the rest of the story. And as I shared it, you can't even believe the tears on the phone. And God uncovered the most deepest secret motive thing through that. Why? Because He could. Because I'm not tempted to turn and say to my wife, you can't believe what God just told me about so-and-so. Can you believe that they did? And they've been coming to our home. And they did it. And they actually, if I'm hearing God, they this, this. If that's your response, you're never going to get that kind of information. Are you following me? It's a good phrase. He can tell himself anything. It's become one with his heart through intimacy. Amen? I don't know about you, but if I'm truly perfected in love and you're hurting and you have a deep thing that's driving you in deception, if I could know about it, I want to, so that I could help you and rescue you. Wouldn't you want the same? Wouldn't you want the same? Let's be in position to hear God and manifest into one another like that. By becoming love all the more. Amen? We're going to talk about becoming love so heavy in this school. I told you it'll be like rubber bands popping. It'll be like, last year was so fun. I got talking about love. There was so much stretching and conviction and fun in the room. It was. I'd look up and sometimes a third or more of the people were crying at the same time. And there was just a lot of stuff going on. So we got talking about what love really is. I want to talk about meditating the Lord a little bit, okay? Let's read Psalms 1 real quick again. And then I'm going to teach this thing out. And because we're pursuing to know Him in relationship, talking to Him. And I'm going to use this confession sheet as a model. So bear with me. Stay with me. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man. Or blessed is the man. It's a good position. You want to be in that place. Blessed is better than not blessed, and blessed is surely better than cursed. And we're called to be blessed. Amen. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So you don't need just the advice of people. You know, I know ungodly there actually means wicked in that context, in the Hebrew. But anything that's apart from the truth or wisdom of God to me is ungodly. Just the way that seems right to man is ungodly. Are you following me? I don't need your advice or, well, this is what I think you should do. And then just you speak out of your head. And I don't need to do that to you. You don't need that from me. There's people that call me, and before they call me, they already know where I'm coming from. And it's funny, some of the conditions and places they call me from, because they're not in that place, but the reason they're calling, because they're desperately crying out, because they know I'm going to tell them what they so need to hear, even though sometimes they know what they need to hear, they just want to hear it. And I laugh sometimes, I say, why did you call me? Because you know the answer, you know what I'm going to say, you know where I'm coming from. That's why I called. I don't know why I'm struggling, but I just needed to hear truth. And because they know I'm just going to give them Jesus and the scripture. I'm not going to say, well, I think you should this. Well, this is what I think. It's always Jesus. It's His life. It's His. So ungodly in this context is means wicked. But I want to stress something here, that there's a lot of things that can be defined as ungodly, godless, whether it be wisdom, counsel, perspective. Is selfish motive and selfish perspective godly? Totally ungodly. You can be Godward and see your need for Savior and want God, and you can still live with a selfish motive and miss the grace, blessing, wisdom, and heart of God along the way. There's people with a lack of understanding. They're ignorant to certain truths. They know they need a Savior. They understand they've sinned. That's not an issue. They know they need forgiven of sin, but yet don't believe that they can live by the Spirit and don't understand what it even means. So they just continue to live in the sinful state. It's just a lack of knowledge. We're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It's just a lack of understanding. Sometimes wrong teaching can rob your life of certain levels of grace and blessing, and yet your heart's pure, and in your heart you love God as much as anybody. So loving God's not the issue. Some of us love God, and you say, yeah, but if you love God, you keep His commandments. Well, some people, that's true once you have that conviction, that understanding. I went to a real strong denominational setting one time, and they were using their hymnals, and that's not what makes them a strong denomination. There was other reasons. You can use hymnals. I don't want you to connect that. Them hymnals, man, if we just sing and believe the stuff in that hymnals, we'd all be doing well. Them hymnals are amazing. When they sing that stuff, I'm like, whoa! Somebody knew what they were writing. What happens is we got trapped into reducing it to religious tradition. And you know what I said in that church? I said, God bless you for singing these songs out of this hymnal. I said, man, if we'd all just believe this, we'd be doing well. And I started to quote some of the words from the hymnal of the songs we just sang back to the people that in that church. You know what I mean? But watch this. I heard the Lord say this, because back then I probably had an impression. I was probably in a level of missing the mark in my heart in some ways without being grossly off track. I probably had some projections because I'm in circles that, oh, the so-and-sos, you're going to what church? Oh my gosh, well, they're a dry bone, or this, or they're religious. And we talk like that. Yeah. So then you project on people that are creating the image of God, that love God instead of love people. We start identifying and I probably had that going on in me at some level, not in a gross way in the sense of where I couldn't love them, because that's just love's love, but probably some projections of, wow, they're this, wow, they're that, wondering if I, and I'm thinking, no, I need to just be me and it'll all work out. You know, you go through those thoughts. Well, we're in worship, and we're singing out of the hymnals, and I'm watching and looking, and everything's just good. And they told me to come and do their fall revival. They asked if I would. And I said, well, really, I don't know. You're saying the word revival. I don't know what that means to you. And she said, well, you know, usually we have about 30 people the first night, and by the fourth night, it's down to about 7 committed people. And we want change. She said, we just heard a lot of good things about you, and we just thought, we don't know you, but the people that referred you, we just thought we'd call and ask you to come. I said, well, honey, here's the thing. I'm pastoring. I got plenty of things to do in my life, and I'm not looking for places to speak and things to put on my calendar. So if you're telling me revival, I don't know what that means to you, but I know that if you're asking me to come, I need to bring the Jesus that I know. And bring the Jesus that I walk with and live with without reservation. I need to just have the green light. Because if you're asking me to come, it's not about, well, I need to submit to this or that, and I have to be careful this or that. If you need me to come or want me to come, then I need to come as I am, knowing Him as He is. And to me, that'll be revival. And she said, sir, we just want God in our church. And I said, I'll be there. It was just too fun. So we had so much fun. The first night, there was so much stuff. A man had a hernia, just went closed. A man drove home in the dark who couldn't drive because of eyesight. Drove his family home in the dark. It was so many things. A lady that was frozen in her knees for 25 years took her hands and marched. I prayed, and she marched around the church, and the whole valley was buzzing. And on the last night, there was nowhere to sit. People were standing all in the back. The whole church was filled. And it used to be narrowed to 7 by the last night. So we had 70 times 7. 7 times. So, no, we had a lot of people. But here's the deal. While we were in worship, the Lord said something amazing to me. It put me to my knees, and I began to cry. Because I realized there's levels of projections in our lives that we don't will or intend. They just are there. And they can get moved out by relationship. So I'm in because of this. I'm worshiping, I'm singing these songs, and I'm singing these hymnals. And these hymnals, it was refreshing for me because I'm looking at the lyrics and I'm thinking, these people knew their God. When they wrote, this is like deep, intense, righteous redemption stuff. And I'm like, whoa. And we're singing it and I'm into it. And the Lord had me looking around, and there's people singing, and they're in this thing. And it's just a small group. He said, I want you to look around, Dan. He said, these people love me. The best they understand, they love me as much as anyone you know. He said, but they're reduced to loving me according to what they believe is true and have been taught their whole lives. But he said, in that, some accomplish more and are doing more with the little bit they know than many people that know so much more. And I just fell to my knees and cried and just began to honor these people and realize, because with the knowledge that puffs up, I could almost just stain their background. With the knowledge that puffs up, I can almost project on them. With the knowledge that puffs up, I can almost feel like I'm more spiritual and better than them. Or like, I don't know how they can come to this church. I would just dry up. Oh my God, I don't know how you can sit through a service like that. That's what we do. That's high-minded. And you miss the value of the people and the heart of the people. What God sees is the heart of the people. Before Him, you might be amazed how that is. But that's what He told me there. And He told me that these people had an ignorance about them, that in that ignorance, that means that's not a bad word. You know, we use that growing up. You're so ignorant. We don't even know what we're saying. We think it's a slam. It just means not knowing. You're unknowing. These people are just unknowing. But if they knew what some of us knew, they'd probably run a whole lot farther, is what the implication was, because their hearts, they love God. And I'm like, whoa. And yeah, it was a wow. And I thought, isn't that amazing? God really, we look to outward. God really does look to the heart, doesn't He? So it was just very, very humbling. And I just wanted to just share that thought with you right there. Because if you think about it, we tend to call those people religious, bound in tradition. And God was esteeming their heart above some people that I know that know a whole lot more than those folks. Because those people are accountable then with what you know. You're accountable based on all that. So to know isn't to really grow, is it? It's to become. Amen? Okay, and this is how we're going to do it. I won't belabor this anymore. We're not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Please don't do that. But our delight is in what? The law of the Lord. You want to get really stirred up in the Word of God and the love for the Word of God through the Psalms? Man, get in Psalms 119, and it's like 100 and what is it? 70 couple verses? 73 or something. Just read the whole thing. It's like I've camped in there. I camped in there so much over the years, Psalms 119. Haven't read it for a little while, actually. There was a season where it was really speaking to me, and I would just read about loving His Word, loving His law. He says law, loving His commandment, loving His counsel. And Psalms 19 really stirred me up. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. Just be simple. It's the Word of God. Just in today's language, it's in the Word of God. And in His law, He meditates day and night. Remember how we talked about that doesn't mean you're sitting back in a chair reading your Bible 24/7. You can't do that. But the Word becomes the way you think through, you mutter, you talk. You're in a God consciousness through relationship and the way of the Lord mindset 24/7. Does this make sense? So you're meditating day and night. You shall be like a tree. Look at the dividends. You shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Remember this crystal river in your Bible at two places that flows from the threshold of the temple, and there's trees all along, and on the leaves, on the trees, is the leaves. It's the healings for the nations. I wonder who those trees are. Come on, be a tree. Planted by the rivers of water. Come on, it's in your Bible. It's the pictures there. Isaiah says that we're trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? That He might be glorified. Why are you a tree of righteousness? To manifest His glory, so that men know who He is through your life. Father, glorify Your Son, that Your Son would glorify Your name. Remember, we covered that yesterday. Give eternal life, right? This is eternal life, that you might know Him. I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to in public that I've taken time with. Their response isn't so much, how can I get something doctrinally like I see in your life? What I hear them say is, I've heard this more times than I can remember. You seem so know Him. How can I know Him like you? That's what I get from people when I talk to them in the public. How can I know Him like you? They realize that I know Him to a degree. I feel like I'm getting to know Him more and more. Like one lady said to me once, she said, "You really know Him, don't you?" And I was like, "Well," and I managed her to kind of mealy mouth, like, "Well," Holy Spirit's like, "Just tell her you know me." You know, we did that false humility thing on. "Well, you know me." "Well, I'm getting to." Did you have your hand up? Hang on. And I'm going to probably have to look where you're at. You're going to have to tell me where you're at, because
it's Job 14, verse 7. And it's always comforted me. And the cross-reference I have is Isaiah 6:13. Though they cut down the tree, it still has its roots.
That's good.
And that's always comforted me, because I always used to feel, but I don't feel anymore, like a tree that's been just...
What do you mean you can't be cut down?
Yeah, like, you can cut me, but I still have roots, man, and I'm coming back. And
Come on!
How I've always felt, like, go ahead and cut me, but you know what? My roots are deep, and I'm coming back.
I'm growing.
And I'm just, you're just pruning me,
when
right?
When something gets pruned, it's like way more profuse anyway. It's like where there was one sprout, there's like more and more. And it's just really good. There's actually a pruning in the Lord the Bible talks about, which is a cool principle if you could take the time to teach it. But what you're saying is, and I love that concept. Who saw how that rose something up in the room? It's like, yeah, because that just edified everybody. It's like, so even if it feels like it's adversity or a trial or a hardship that came and almost felt like it took your feet out from under you and cut off what was accomplishing and stuff. No, you're still rooted and grounded in Him, in love, rooted and grounded in love. You know, the Bible, that's just a good concept, but there's a lot about trees in the Bible. This whole concept is just very powerful. We're rooted and grounded in love, the Bible says, right? So it talks about this tree that grows up, or this thing that grows up, it hears and it has need and it has a topic in life, and you hear a message that has to do with your current go through, and you're like, you know, "Whoa, yeah, that's my answer. Thank you, Jesus." And you're at church and you think, "That was for me." And you get all excited and you run out, and then the pressure's there, circumstances keep unfolding, and all of a sudden the heat of the day, the Bible says. It's just the adversities of life start to bear down on that thing that shot up with joy, and it says soon that thing withers and dies. And it says, why does it happen? Because there's no depth of earth, of soil, and there was no root in that thing that grew. You get it? It has to be more than just an answer for your self-serving need. It has to be rooted and grounded in love. Faith works through love. So the adversity of life, that's the concept you just shared. No matter what happens to me, I have roots way deeper than my trial and what I'm going through. And what it appears to look like to men isn't the truth in God. He is for me. He is with me. He hasn't thrown me away. He loves me. You see what I mean? It's rooted and grounded in love. So there's types of soil in the sower sows the word concept there. And the one says that it springs up with immediate joy because it feels like it got its immediate answer. And it's like, yes! And then life just shouts it down. And what we lose sight of is God's incredible love. And then we think, well, that wasn't working. Well, I thought that was from the Lord. Well, here I am. I feel worse now than I was before. And next thing you know, go, see what I mean? But who's the focus of that concept? Me and how it's going, instead of me and who I am. You hear the difference? What she just shared was a concept of me and who I am. No matter how it's going, knowing who you are. You following that? Are you still reading in Job? You hear something else. She just started reading. She said, "I like this." Now she's down in verse 9.
Well, Though its roots may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of the water, it will bud and bring forth branches.
You guys are getting real spiritual on me now. You're getting real spiritual on me now, see? It's so good. It's good. It's all good. So we're trees planted by the rivers of living water. Where did God place us? By rivers of living water. See, when you meditate, watch what this is saying. Watch. It's only through meditating in the Word and staying in the truth of the Word that you find out who you really are and where you really are. You follow me? Think what it's saying. The result of meditating in the Word is what? Taking on who you really are, planted by the river of living water. That means you find yourself in the Word. You find your identity. You get established in truth. And it's the will of God. Who planted you by the rivers of living water? Who wants you there? Are you following me? It's by meditating in the Word that you understand who He is and who you are in Him and find out the truth about your life. It's not going to come through a circle of friends. It's not going to come just through life and how it goes. It's not just going to come by trying to fulfill your occupational desire and hope, take a good crack at life. And it's going to happen when you give yourself to the Word and see the truth about you. Amen? And life. Watch how full of identity this is. I'm coming to you, Sheena. Watch how full of identity this is. Once you become that firm and established tree planted by God. Here's what this is saying. I'm the will of God. My roots will never be moved and shaken. Man, who He redeemed, He redeemed. Who He loved, He loved. Who He forgave, He forgave. I'm not a throwaway. He'll never change His mind about me. I'm alive in Him. I'm planted by Him. He knows what He's doing when He saved me. Right? So you're camping there, right? A person that's locked in and established in this truth, guess what he's going to do? He's going to bear fruit. Why? Because a tree is known by its fruit, but its fruit is known by the tree. In other words, the fruit's in agreement with the tree. We covered that way back in the beginning. The apple tree doesn't produce apples to prove to you it's an apple tree. The apple tree produces apples because it is an apple tree. So I'm not out trying to be righteous. I can't help but to bear righteous fruit because I'm a righteous tree. Come on, it's so simple. But you have to see identity here. It's the Word of God that tells me the truth of who I am. And if I stay there in my mindset and don't drift away, slip away, allow myself to be pulled away, let the way that seems right to a man eat my lunch. If I camp in the truth of who I am through Christ, I'm going to be rooted and established in identity by the grace of God. That's what this is saying. And then I'm going to go on and bear fruit and manifest the very reason I'm alive. And watch this. I'm not going to wear out doing it. Because I'm not trying to be something I've become. So I'm just doing what I do. Are you following me? And whatever I do will what? Why? Because it comes out of the truth of who we are, empowered by grace. It's faith working through love. It has to prosper. Because it's all the will of God. It's all the truth about me in Christ. Does this make sense? See, don't be in a hurry and just read a psalm because it sounds poetic. Hear what it's really saying. If I meditate in the Word, I'm going to know who I've always been in Him. And I'm going to take in my rightful place here and lock in, and I'm not going to be moved. That's why your word was so timely. Because even if it doesn't look like this is the scenario of my life, who knows it is? And even if it looks like I was cut down, who knows I'm still a tree? Who knows I'm still rooted in and there's life-giving water coming into me? Who knows that even if it seems like I cut down, I'm going to come back more aggressive, more powerful, more wise, more able. Cut one, you'll get three in return. Cut those three, you'll get nine more. See what I mean? It's a principle there. It's a faith that works through love. Now watch. This is this other scripture. And I didn't forget your hand. I really didn't. Watch this.
We know it's Romans 8, 28. We quote it all the time. And we know that all things work together for those that... Well, here's what we do a lot in the church. Well, we know that all things work together for the good, brother. We take pieces of things. Who's heard us just say that part right there? Well, you know how it works, brother. All things work together for the good, brother. No, it says a whole lot more. It says for those that love Him. Now, when you look at love Him, you think, what is love Him? Well, love is take no account of a suffered wrong. Love doesn't seek its own. Love is amazing. That's how God sees us. It says, you love God the way God loved you. Jesus tells us that. That we're to love God the way God loved us. Agape love. That means, look, He believes the best. Even when you're willful and when your motive's wrong, His love goes deeper and says, that is so not who you are, etc., etc., etc. Even when He could have the technical right to call you on things, He still nurtures and brings the best out in you. Right? Here's what we do. We say, well, we know that God works all things together for the good. Well, it's for those that love Him. Why? Because faith stays in the picture and it works through love. Watch. When something goes wrong, what's the first almost common reaction at the church at large, especially the whole church at large, the more common reaction would, man, why'd you let that happen, God? God, why'd you allow that? God, what are you doing? And it brings Him into the conversation as if He's responsible. Are you following me? And there's almost an accusation that He could have done something different or didn't do something He could have done. It's not even love. It reduces you to, I need you to do things my way, and if you don't, we have issues. Yeah, good luck with that one. That's a real hard place, man. Do you know how many people have that mentality and that mentality right there robs you and cuts you off from having intimacy and relationship with God? Do you know marriages are like that? Marriages are like, hey, you do for me, I'll do for you. You get that thing out of whack, we got issues. As much as I can be with you and join with you, I can just as quick... Don't understand love, covenant, surrender, Jesus. He works all things together for the good, for those that don't project on Him, lose sight of the truth, lose sight of who He is, don't fail to see there's still a tree, and keep Him in the rightful place, and know they love Him, and know they're called according to His. So no matter what you're going through, you realize your life is still the will of God, and He is with you and for you and in you. Period. That's the person all things work together for the good for. It's very rarely taught. God's so merciful that even when people fail those two, you still see stuff redeemed. But why put yourself through that rocky ride and all that hell of soul when you could just know and be? Amen. You guys have been patient, thanks.
I was on standby.
Look, she breathed into it and became a living mic.
Just the expanded translation that I was reading, the Amplified version, it says planted and tended.
Oh.
And something about that just really, I'm going to get emotional.
No, it's good.
That He doesn't just bring you to it and bring you knowledge and plant you and be like, okay, you're good. He keeps coming back.
He nurtures.
And
he fathers.
The whole time. He doesn't just say, you're smart and you're good and you know who I am now. I'll see you later. And that's
how... See how emotional she's getting about that? That's a sign of intimacy. That's a sign of heart connectivity. I love that. No, that's really good. Yeah, you probably ought to talk and cry more. That's good. Do you hear what... That one little thought has got her all mushed up. That God didn't just plant me, He tends to me. Now, when you get alone and nobody's looking, and you're sitting on your bed, communion, intimacy, and you're reading Psalms 1, and you're reading this, blessed is the man who doesn't walk the counsel of the ungodly standeth. Father, I have no desire for the wisdom of the world. Father, I separate myself right now and I give myself to you. And I thank you, Father, that your wisdom is what rules me. Your way is the way that I really hear. And if I hear any other way, I just thank you that it is so made known to me because truth's residing in my heart. God, I want you. I want your wisdom. I want to see your face. I'm thanking you. You're the one that leads me and guides me. I was tutored in this world, but I thank you. You've called me out of it and put me into your kingdom. And I thank you that you're the source of my life. And I honor you. Oh, my delight is in you, Lord. My delight is in your law. I shall be like a tree planted. All of a sudden, Shane's sitting there and she says, "And Father, you don't just plant me. You tend me. You keep me. I'll never be afraid again. Your hand is upon my life. Who's going to snatch me from your palm? God, I am yours forever. I'm your little girl. And I thank you for snatching me out of the darkness and putting me in everlasting light. God, I worship you." This is what she's doing, or you're doing, or I'm doing, while we're reading the Bible. It can never become head knowledge. And you're like, "And I'm going to bring forth my fruit in season." See, there, when the Holy Spirit started taking me into this kind of stuff, I was 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks old in the Lord. I would read stuff like this, and I would make it to three verses. And an hour would go by. Three verses. And an hour. Why? Because those three verses are saying so much that if I would take my time and begin to agree with them, the Holy Spirit's going to expound and open up even more and just cause me to see even more, because there's enough here to just camp out for a while, right? And as I get into relationship, I'm not just feeding my knowledge to what the Bible says. You know, "Well, you know what the Word says, brother." It's not like that. That's not what we've hurt each other with that. "Well, what's the Word say about that? Well, what's the Word?" And it's like we're just word, 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 and it sounds right. Duh! Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Because you start lording that over. "Well, the Bible says," and now you just give them your last three things, you just, because you read your Bible, now you, and it's not even love for them. You're not even seeing where they're at and how they feel. There's no sensitivity. It's just, "Well, why are you saying that? If you read the Word, well, if you knew the Word, you wouldn't say that." And it's more of a this than a... Watch this. So you're sitting there, you bring forth a fruit in your season, your leaf. "Father, I thank you. There's no such thing as burnout in my life because I'm not trying to do anything to become anything. I'm already your son. I'm already empowered. Your Spirit already lives in me. I'm enjoying the ride. I get the blessing and benefit of becoming your heart by your Spirit. It's your desire that I'm a tree. It's your desire I'm planted and tended. Everything about me is your will. You've initiated this thing and you'll see it through to the end. I just keep my eyes on you. This is amazing." See what's that? See, that's like, yay. "So now, what do you mean, your leaf wither?" "Well, you know, life, it's a tough grind, brother. I mean, you know, but it's hard. And I know you might feel that way because you got your eyes on whatever, but no, I don't understand. No, it's not that way." And you have to get alone with God and start seeing what it's really like. "My leaf shall not wither." So anything that sells me short of that isn't the truth. So I'm pastoring, phones ringing, needs. I got people on my phone just in the last few days that still believe I'm their answer and that I have to go to the hospital to see the loved one and drive up to Hershey to this emergency and call this person in another state because they have a crisis, and it's constant. And if I didn't understand what I'm saying, I'd be like, "Would you just leave me alone? I'm not everybody's answer. Grow up!" Come on! And I don't... None of that stuff is even a temptation to me. I understand. I see past all that. There's need. They love people. Sometimes people are going through something and it's so in their face that they feel like they're the only ones on the earth and the only one that has a crisis. If you hear the compulsion on the phone sometimes... "Please, I know you're busy. I know you don't have probably a lot of time, but this is so important, so important." And they start crying. "You don't understand. This is my mother.
And if I didn't understand and be able to see past it, I'd think, well, yeah, and it's everybody else's mother, too. And you selfish thing, why don't you just, you're just getting wrapped up in your own need. Why don't you cry out to God and have some faith? And see, that would be a hard-hearted preacher, man. There's people, I had one pastor tell me personally, you know, this ministry thing would be great if it wasn't for the people. He said, there's just people are so challenging. It's so hard to love the church, man. And I said, huh? But he was so serious. Oh, he said that. But when you're in a place of love, there's a wisdom that comes with it. When them people are on your phone machine talking like that, you understand what's making them feel that way. And you have compassion. You understand that what they're saying is, in a sense, self-consumed. They're actually, it's so funny, the ones that say, look, I know you're crazy, crazy. They use all these adjectives, crazy, insanely busy. But I know you probably have no time whatsoever today, but I really need just 5 minutes. And it's so funny because they're on one hand saying, I really feel bad I'm calling you, but I really need to call you. And I don't feel bad enough that I'm not calling because I'm calling you. And they're trying to work through all that in their language. And it's like, oh, bless their heart. Would they just ask what they want? Because they called. But they go through all that. It's so hilarious. It happens all the time. It's all the time. It's hilarious. And I'm a little behind right now. I don't like turning people into a list and a number, but I feel like I've got people on a list and numbers right now at home. There's people from Friday I haven't even called, and I'm getting back row. It's funny. But I'm not burned out. I'm not frustrated. I'm not tired. I'm not carrying a burden. I'm not everybody's answer. I'm doing what I know I can do, and I'm trusting God with the big picture. Do you see? I'm not here thinking, God, now I'm teaching this school, and right now I know I can hear by the Spirit. My phone's ringing. And I'm not there to get back to people, so the list is getting longer. Oh, my God, when I get home, all I have is to call people back all day long. Come on, there's a way you can start thinking like that. And all of a sudden, it's just ministry. Instead of loving people. All of a sudden, it's just needs-driven ministry, and your heart will get hard and hurt. That's what happens to folks. That's what happens to ministers. They lose sight of the why and who they really are and who God is in the midst. Rachel, do you have something?
When you're working with people, how do you...
That's good. She had a question about children the other day. It was awesome. Brought her to tears. That was a good question. You're going to cry again, aren't you?
I just may, actually.
I can tell. I can feel it.
People... I love people, and I love to help them, and you want to steer them in the direction of the Lord.
Right.
So when you're working, and like you said, people are calling you constantly for that, how do you know when, I don't know, is it spirit-led, where you just know that, okay, this is my time where I can shut it off, where God and the Holy Spirit have to finish the work, so that it doesn't, I guess, take so much of you. Does that make sense?
Where they get super dependent on you. Sure, there's codependent stuff where they just all of a sudden rely on you. And the fact that I go through that in seasons with people. I'll let people do that for a while because they don't have the strength to... I could tell them to stand on their own or to do this or that. And yet they really just need to hear your voice tomorrow morning. You know what I'm saying? They're just in that place. You just discern that stuff, and you know. And then there comes a time where it's just like you grow, and you're nurturing them. And you're just, it's kind of like a mama bird. You're feeding that little baby, and in the beginning, that baby's just... I just had it. We just had a nest in our little bushes there, Yeah, and I have, I don't have to go into detail, but I have mealworms in an aquarium that I have. I'm a fisherman at times, I use them. I have a pet toad, I feed him them. And I have millions of mealworms in this aquarium, right? So these birds are my little buddies now. When I walk outside, they sit from me to you, and they go, the mom and dad, and they're like, where's the mealworms? How about, and I have a little lid out there that I pour them in a plate, and they're like, there's no mealworms in the plate. And I went out and I was sitting on a chair reading, and they wouldn't let me read. Like the ones sitting on the pole and the ones on the top of the bush, I could almost touch them. And they're going, wah, wah, Right? I said, you guys need more mealworms? How much do they eat? Come on. And I'm like, and they're just sitting there like, and as soon as I go in and bring out the mealworms, they see the little cup. And as soon as I pour them and back away, they poof, and they fill their little beaks. And birds can count. They got three babies and they get three mealworms every time. And they go in and feed them. So it's just like when I first peeked in the eggs hatch. There's a reason I'm telling you this bird story. It's going to answer your question, Rachel. When I first looked in, I knew these bright little blue eggs are catbirds. And I'd peek in and I knew these eggs were in there for a while. And I'm thinking, they're going to hatch soon. Well, because of nature and instinct and stuff, stuff grows extremely fast in the wild, like birds. They can't just sit in a nest forever. Something's going to get them sooner or later. And they grow very fast, right? So I looked in there. And it was the day they hatched. And these little things were shaking. They could hardly even like sit up. They were just, they're just quivering in their little pink, little fuzzy things. And they're tiny. And I'm like, look at these little things. Well, it was about 3-4 days later. I didn't want to be in there fussing with them too much. But I was feeding, giving them all. So they had unlimited food supply, these little birds. They ate a lot of mealworms. But I peeked in there about 3 days later, and all three of them are sitting up straight going, as little birdies in a nest, they need mommy. They're in a little season where they are so dependent. They are so, and who knows that we want to grow up into him in all things, but there's a time where you really nurture somebody. But here's what you have to do. This is why we talk about getting your heart perfected in love and formed in love and receiving the love of God. Because if you begin to see how God had to father you and tend to you and nurture you in life, it'll start giving you compassion towards others. Like, the more you receive forgiveness, the more your heart is in position to forgive. The more you truly, viably, truly receive mercy, the more you become a vessel of mercy. So the more you appreciate Him and live in thankfulness and appreciate His goodness, the more you'll see that go this way. So because of that one concept, I understand there's seasons and people and at the same time, people can get to depend on you, rely on you, almost make you as if you're Jesus in their answer. And you know what I mean? So if you perceive that at some point, but here's the thing I want to all challenge you with. The mindset that says that that has to wear you out is not true. Now, that's coming from somebody that's been saved 16 years. And probably at the level I'm talking almost the whole time, because we had a home group well before I was pastoring, and over 200 different people came through there in 2 years. And my phone would get 10 to 12 calls a day when I was 1 year old in the Lord. So I've been living this way ever since I've been saved. And I haven't been tired. I don't know what that means. Or I'm putting on a good show for you. I said something to Pastor Don one time about somebody said this and thought this, and he laughed. He said, buddy, I've known you since about the year 2000. He said, if that's even a little bit true, you are one amazing actor, man. That's what he said. So watch. So this little birds, and then it was just 2 weeks ago. I didn't know it was this fast, but it was just 2 weeks ago. Now they're eating good. I looked in. Well, then now their eyes are open and they're all like this, but they're bigger. Their feathers are already popping out. This is like 5-6 days into hatching. They're already three times the size, and they're already. And then you know what was cool? I started feeding them myself. I would pull back the bush and they'd all be there, and I was just stuffing down there. They're like, "Thanks, buddy, thanks." And then I peek in and they got a little bigger and realized, "You don't look like my mother." And they got a little older, a little smarter, and they would be like, and then they'd go. And they were sitting there, all three in the nest, sitting, and they're looking at each other like, that don't look like mom. So they all put their beaks down. They're all like, they're like intimidated, like. And it was so cute. I just touched one a little bit on the beak, and he went. But anyway. And he ate it. I thought, you little bugger, you. He's like, they're all scared, but he's like, I am hungry. But you're not my mom. But you can just see him change. Well, then it was like 4 days later, I went out, and here they were sitting on my neighbor's hedge, the little ones. They got out of the nest because they're crowding out the nest. They can't hardly fly. They like buzz a little bit. They look like an overweighted bee. And they're just sitting there. So they're still dependent, but they're growing and they're still being fed. But who knows that they're gonna fly soon on their own. They're going to get their own food. So that principle is a really neat principle. You have to discern. And if you rightly discern where people are, there's a release of compassion with your understanding. Does this make sense? So when you look at a person, don't just see them as... See, that's where the selfless thing... Because I understand you have to get to work. I understand. Believe me, I understand. My phone rings when it can't ring. But it rings. And if you don't understand what I'm telling you, you'll have natural reasoning and natural knowledge to be all kinds of other things. And then you'll fail to even see the value. There's hard times sometimes where I have to pick up the phone. And I told you that day I got here a little late to school. I just had to pick up the phone. There was a girl on my phone. Now I could have said, well, she's just going to have to wait because I got school. And God, you know I have school. If I start talking like that, I'm covering up self-connotation with spiritual language. I don't even do that. My heart broke. When my heart went, and I heard her on my phone crying, and I grabbed that phone, and I knew I was going to be late. And I just picked up the phone, and I said, hey, girl. Hey, I'm here. I was just ready to step out, but, man, I heard your heart. What's going on, kiddo? It's all right.
Well, yeah, but now I'm going to make you late.
It's all right. We live in eternity. It'll work out. You called. What's going on? It took my time with her. There's times I'll grab the phone and say, listen, man, I can tell you're hurting. Listen, you don't understand where I'm in the middle of right now and where I have to be. You realize right now I got to catch a flight. Listen, I love you. Read this right now. Scripture, I'll give them. Read this right now. Turn your heart, begin to pray. You believe this scripture, okay? And you get on this. I'll call you when I get to wherever. And that's the stuff I do, that stuff. But in time, I do that with people. I don't counsel them as much. There's a time I just give them almost this. I understand they're like that little tiny bird that just came out of the egg. The situation's new. They feel overwhelmed. The only reason they're calling me, the only reason they're calling you is because they're looking for hope and help. Right? And then at some point, I'll give them a little more freedom to enter into this or that or read. You could call it little assignments, whatever you want to call it. But what I do is I nurture them toward Him. You see what I mean? I just had somebody call me, serious crisis, right after being on the phone. I didn't. My time so collapsed on Saturday. It was unbelievable where the day went. It was just boom. But I was from one crisis to another. And it was life-stopping situations. Young man, tough situation, another person, and what I do is I start to give them assignments and I start pointing them this way. Because I'm not everybody's answer. I can't be. But I can point them to Him. You get what I'm saying? But if you keep that, Rachel, in perspective and you understand, you got to put yourself in a person's shoes to be able to minister to them with compassion. You have to understand where they're coming from, not how they're infringing on your day. If it's just how they're infringing on your day, you could substantiate that with natural wisdom and you could get a lot of friends that feel the same way to agree with you. Well, yeah, but you got to get to work. You can't have them calling you. And all of a sudden when the phone rings, instead of, wow, compassion, it's like, oh, here we go again. Oh my God, it is her. And now you're frustrated. Well, you can't tell me that's Jesus. Even if it's, you know, sweetheart, listen, you called me the last two mornings. See, I'm abruptly honest with people because I love people. So I'd be like, honey, you called me the last two mornings. I want to let you know I'm doing this school and I'm getting ready for school. And it's very difficult. It actually puts me in a tough spot because I love you. I want to take time with you. But it puts me in a very tough spot because I have all these students that have committed. They've registered. I have an appointment. I have to be there. And this is not the time to call me. You've got to be patient and I'll get back to you. But right now, in the meantime, how about this? And please, man, just in this window of time, don't call me in the morning. I'll talk like that. And I've had this happen both ways. I'll reaffirm and ask 10 times, sound redundant. Are you okay? Do you hear me real clear? You're not hurt by anything I said, right? No, I'm fine. I'll hang up and they bawl. But I know that I'm doing my best to convey truth to them. But it just shows how fragile some people are. And if they feel rejected now by you, they're like, oh my God, he doesn't even, oh my God, I called and I just infringed on his day. I'm so selfish. Why did I even call him? I shouldn't have called him. I feel so stupid. I don't know if I'll ever face him again. It's crazy stuff. It's from one extreme to the other. Ah! Be free. Unravel. Come on. Get loose. I've been through all that more than you can imagine. So where I find out that person and I say, wait a minute. I asked you 10 times. Da, 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 da. And they'll say, well, yeah. But... And then I'll minister to that area of their life. You see what I mean? But it's all part of just loving people. It's called loving people. Amen. Thank you, Steve. So I hope I answered your question okay. You be abruptly honest, but here's the deal. You want to always have your heart in those situations move with compassion and a heart for the person. If you respond to a person in that situation just in light of how they're inconveniencing your time, your day, and eating your life up, you will probably see very little grace on your words and probably end up touching them wrong. I'm extremely merciful and compassionate to people that way because I understand, first of all, they're really hurting. They're not understanding. There's something wrong. Even if they're out of order, leaning on me, codependent, leaning on me, there's a reason. Come on. If Jesus just looked at our lives and weighed our lives like we tend to do, I bet some of us would get cut off along the way. Right? So let's just make sure. So I got to get in this here a little better in the second half. Hopefully I can establish some things. We're just going to try to do this. But it's break time. I got my Sue was landing in the airplane a while ago back there. Jesus. So you're a blessing. We appreciate you. Go take a break. Use the potty. Love somebody. Hug somebody. Bless somebody. I'm just telling you.